chapter 1, we are continuing with the series that we've been looking at for a few days. The series we've been looking at since last week. We started our prayer and fasting last week, and you are expected to fast during the day. And we're looking at God's word because in the month of November, every year, we take 12 days to pray and to wait upon the Lord. What are we doing? Why 12 days in particular? Why not 21? Well, 12 days symbolic of 12 months of the new year. And so we don't prepare for the new year in the new year. We prepare for the new year before the new year. So we spend 12 days, one day equivalent to a month in the coming year. And we depend strongly upon the Word of God and strongly upon the Spirit of God to help us to navigate the year ahead. We will receive light illumination concerning the coming year before the year itself unfolds, because, you know, God doesn't dwell in the realm of time. He dwells in eternity. So information about new year is unveiled to us so that we start preparing. We know how much to prepare. We know changes that we need to make. We know adjustments that we need to go through so that we can be better positioned to maximize God's grace in the coming. So we've been looking at greater works. Does God have something better for me in my Christian experience? Are you tired of religion? Do you just keep wanting to just be, you know, having mental assent to the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be looking at greater works. I'm going to read from verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church. He says, "We cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Ephesians 1, verse 16. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That phrase, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, means spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or being flooded with light. It says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The difference between the Old Testament and the New is so much. The difference is as like night and day. That means that you can be a saint, a New Testament believer, and have an Old Testament consciousness if your mind is not renewed with the truth of the epistles. The practices of the Old Testament are not permitted in the New because we are under a different testament. So the prayer that Paul is praying, this prayer is for believers. After having experienced the new birth, Paul said, "We've heard of your love towards all saints, towards Lord Jesus and towards all saints." He prayed a similar prayer for the church at Colossae. What's the content of that prayer? And we said yesterday that the emphasis in the New Testament for a believer is not that God should do things for you. It's not that there are things that God is yet to do in your life, even though there are things you may be yet to experience. He says, so that you won't think that there is something extra that God needs to do for you now that you are in Christ. We need you to pray that what God has already done in Christ, the revelation of it should flood your understanding. That's the emphasis. Which means there are things that God has done for you, you have no clue about. There are things God has put you over and handed mastery over to you that you are yet to come into knowledge of. There's an ability that's within you that with the workings of it that will not come to light except you have revelation. So Paul is praying for the whole church at Ephesus. Remember, this was the same church that started in Acts chapter 19, where there were few persons. Now Paul laid hands upon them and they were filled with spirit. On the same day they got filled with spirit, they prophesied that same day. But Paul is now praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened so that they may know what is the hope of God's calling. What exactly does that mean? It means as you were called into Christ, there's an expectation in God's heart behind that calling. When you were called in, you were called out of something. Okay, Peter put it this way, that God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Light is the way God describes all the virtues, all the glory, all the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ. He calls it light. Hallelujah. So you were called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's the call. So if we ask now, where is your address? You are in God's marvelous light. Say, "I am in God's marvelous light." You know, we said something yesterday that One of the greatest prayers you can pray, which is what this prayer actually does, is that you learn to see yourself as God sees you. Why will God boast about you? Why will God say the things he says about you? It's because of what he has done for you in Christ. So for you to see yourself rather the way God sees you, is to see yourself as you really are. But you know, most of the time we're used to seeing ourselves in the light of challenges and situations. So Paul is asking this prayer. Paul is saying, we are praying this prayer for you. By extension, it was exhorting the Ephesian church to pray this prayer for themselves. He says, I'm praying that you will receive spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, so that the eyes of your understanding, being flooded with light, you may know. Now, people, as a rule, never walk beyond their level of knowledge. They don't. If you get to a new country and you don't know the rules of traffic and driving, in fact, you are usually not advised to drive until several months after, when you have traversed the road, not by driving, but by being a passenger in a car. So you have seen that where they drive. For instance, if you get to the UK, and I think they drive on the, which other side? Is it right hand now? They drive on the right hand. You know, that's opposite of the way you drive here. So it takes some getting used to when you get there. So if you think that the way you drive in Nigeria is the way you drive all over the world, you are mistaken. That means not a week, a day of driving there. That's you just land, you just start driving, you also end up in jail that same day. There's no grace that covers you. That same day you are going to jail because you are driving with the old knowledge. You are in a different country now, a different environment that has different rules. And so the way they drive there is different. As a matter of fact, if you drive the way you drive in Nigeria, they will regard you as a mental case. You will believe you are normal. You click, tell them you are normal. They will tell you are not. And this is how people who are not normal behave. Okay? So the issue is that the rules are different. The environment is different. You now need to study the environment to know where you have come into. Even if you have British citizenship, but you never live there. Now the Bible talks about the hope of your calling. You were called into something. What you were called into is a lifelong journey of understanding. You keep learning because there are so many things involved in what you were called into that the light of it begins to dawn gradually upon your consciousness. So let me say this again. We don't preach conduct to believers outside of spiritual growth. Let me say that again. You don't preach conduct to a believer outside of spiritual growth. What's spiritual growth? The more they know who they are, their conduct adjusts. I heard the story of a minister who said that, you know, in the U.S., they're a bit lenient when it comes to disciplining children. I mean, I've never known that. Okay, so but most of them don't believe in flogging. They look at flogging as capital punishment. Okay, but here in Nigeria, if you come from my generation, I mean, your body bears the marks of the number of times that they applied the rod of correction to the seat of learning. You understand what I mean? They applied the rod of correction to the seat of learning. Your body bears the marks of it. As in this day now, for instance, your children challenge you. In fact, they ask you why. And you are thinking that in my time, before the word why comes out, a slap will have adjusted the shape of your mouth. That you are asking me, as in, you are not doing is enough reason from your parents. They don't owe you an explanation. So the thing of this is, there's nothing you say, go to bed now by 9. Why? Everything is why. I knew we accommodated them. But this minister said, he trained his own children differently. So when his son was like about 2 years old, he said if he does anything wrong, he will spank him to let him know the seriousness. And then he will raise his voice. And when he raises his voice, he knows that something is wrong. He said there was a day, because they lived on a farm, farm area in the U.S. And he was strolling on the field with the son. And the boy, the way young boys do, was running ahead of the dad on the road. And the boy was about to reach a road track, which is normally isolated at that time. No vehicles around that. But he heard the sound of vehicle in the distance, moving at high speed. And this boy was about to cross the road. There was no way to stop him because he was far away. They Iboy was going to die. That was just it. Because the driver also wasn't expecting anybody to be there. But because of the kind of training he has given to that boy, he shouted his name, Joshua, very loud. He said the boy took a step. The next step, he just took it as all stop in the air. That's training. That's training. You know, that means that if you call your children and they don't answer, don't take it lightly. Because it may save their lives one day. Let me tell you what discipline is. Discipline is that if you've disciplined them well, even when they grow up and they are accustomed to your voice and you're not there, the Spirit of God can use your voice to arrest them. I hope you understand that. If your children are obedient to you, in a dream, God can appear in the form of your natural father and tell you, that place you're going tomorrow, don't go. Good night. I hope you understand that. It's important. Now, he said the boy's leg was in the mid-air and the car zoomed past inches from him. He would have died. He would have died. So, the training had been so much in the boy that unconsciously he walked on him. But that day he saved his life. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Say God's inheritance in Christ is in me now. When I pray, God doesn't come down from heaven. He doesn't take something from heaven. He takes what he has put in me and expresses it. Now, when you first hear that, depending on where you're coming from, you will think it's blasphemy. Believe me, I've been in this thing for 32 years. In ministry for about 25 years. So, if somebody's old school, I'm a bit old school too. It's not easy to adjust to the fact that God actually doesn't come from heaven to do things in Christ. That in Christ he has done things in you. Say he has done things in me. My eyes need to be open to see those things. How else will God tell you, you shall lay hands on the sick? It's because he put power within you. He never said it to any generation until those who are in Christ. If any man be in, say in Christ. That phrase in Christ, the translators of the scriptures, particularly from Greek to English, they agreed that in was the strongest word they could find. But what the Greek actually means is stronger. They tried to use in union, but it was a bit lighter than what the Greek meant. So they agreed on the word in as the strongest word they could find, because English language couldn't adequately explain what it meant to be in Christ. So when it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Yeah? What does it say? Behold. Behold means you that you are there. Now gaze and keep gazing at the reality of where you are now. It's going to take a while. That's what it means. Keep gazing at the reality of what you have. So many of us grew up thinking being saved, being born again is an escape ticket from hell. That's too cheap for Jesus to die for. Think about it. If he died only to save you from going to hell, then if all you have is salvation or escape from hell, the day you became saved, just be raptured to heaven. Think about it. But he left you here to represent him. He was so confident, he said, go and preach. All power in heaven has been given. You go. You go means it is as the same as me going. So Paul, by the Spirit of God, is now telling us that the highest of understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it says, what is what? The exceeding greatness. Say exceeding greatness of his power towards us in Christ. Let me have that verse. See what it says. And what is the exceeding what? Greatness of his power towards what? Who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead. In that verse alone, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, he has used five different words to describe power in the Greek. But the word exceeding greatness means power that is over and above, that surpasses. It's like saying that this is the mark, you throw something beyond the mark. That's what it means. It means the power that was placed, that was demonstrated in raising Jesus, was much more than was necessary to raise him. And that's the power that every single individual that accepts Jesus, that's the power that makes them a new creation. The power works by coming inside of them, by filling them with the Spirit of God. So the power that's at work in a believer is over and above. That's what the Greek Interpretation means it means to throw something beyond the mark, upper below, something that is over and above what is necessary to get the job done. Somebody put it this way: it's like facing a mosquito and carrying a bazooka. You know, does it? Even people ask you that, what's going on? It's a mosquito. Why all this preparation? You see, that's the picture, that it's over and above, surpassing power, exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, which he wrought or effected in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What else did he do? And what? He set him where? At his own right hand. Where? In heavenly places. Far above. Far above is not talking about a vertical height. Because again, Paul is using figure of speech to describe the position that you and I have in Christ. That's why when you're reading in English, understand that it's translated to English, but it's basically an Eastern book. The Bible is an Eastern book. Okay? So when it says far above, what will normally come to your mind is a vertical elevation. But it's not talking about something vertical. It's talking about something that has to do with position. Position and authority that surpasses every other being. That's what it's talking about. Because when you hear far above, in your mind you're thinking that where Jesus is seated is beyond the highest cloud. No, that's what it's talking about. He's talking about the existence of every single being, and then Jesus exists in a class that supersedes all of them. That's what he's saying. So let me read again. It says, which rotten guys were raised from the dead and set him where? At his own right hand. Where? In the heavenlies. The word places is alicized in the heavenlies. Let's go to John chapter 14. We'll come back there. Verse 12. Why are we teaching this way? So that you can walk in the supernatural consciously and unconsciously. You need to understand the facts behind it. You need to understand it's more than prayer. You need to understand it's not guesswork. It's not something that we hope will happen. Hallelujah. You know, I've gone to minister in a few places, and in those places, some things I did, even the minister that invited me, the look on his face was like, I hope what he's doing will work. I don't know. Have you ever been there? Osman is thinking, I hope he knows what he's doing. That's the minister is on your behalf, empathizing with you. I don't mean, have you been? I hope that. Because you are saying certain things, like, we have meeting when I said that. Tonight we're going to flow with the Spirit of God. And all of you will be drunk tonight. And you're like, are you the Holy Ghost? You know, you don't have to be the Holy Ghost. Where does the assurance come from? Revelation of God's word. Why? God doesn't have weekends. He doesn't go on vacations. He never fails. He doesn't know how to fail. Then Christ being seated is a guarantee that all he has said is true. That you can bank on it. Hallelujah. You can take it back. It always works if you walk it. See, God's word always works if you walk it. So you're being taught so that you can learn to walk it. So John chapter 14 verse 12. Very well, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. We've explained what that means. To believe on him will be to believe on him in light of his resurrection. Okay, you can't believe on Christ, or you couldn't believe on him until he rose from the dead. So to believe on me means in light of what? Resurrection, when he rose from the dead. The works that I do shall he what? Do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, when he said I go unto my Father, you won't understand the context except you read the previous verses. Look at verse 9. Look at what he told them in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen who? Has seen who? So where was the Father dwelling when Jesus was on the earth? Where was he dwelling? In Jesus. Lord, look at Jesus is proving the point to Philip. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How seest thou then? She was the Father. Next, verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not myself, but the Father that does what? Dwells in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus is saying, the miracles you see, the workings that have been shown forth, are a result of an indwelling. Don't forget that. The indwelling of the Father in me is responsible for the works you have seen. So Christ is different from every other prophet who came because he had the indwelling. Every other prophet had the anointing upon them, but Jesus had the indwelling of the Father within him. That's what he had. Remember what he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus, I want to show you something that's important. John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, look at verse 2. Let's look at what Nicodemus said. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born, what? Again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Next verse. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So the man thought Jesus was talking about a natural process. But Jesus was speaking about a spiritual process. Jesus answered and said, very, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And you know, this is where people got water baptism from. But when he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the word hand is not a conjunction. The word hand is an explanation. What he really says is that, except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, that's what it means. Because you can't be born of water and be born again. If you dip into water and you come out, you are not yet saved. Okay? You just went in a dry sinner, you came back a wet sinner. That's what happens. You know what I mean by that? You were dry when you were going in, you were wet when you were coming out. So the only thing that got born again was your clothes. But it got wet. So you can't be talking about natural water. Many times in the scriptures, Jesus refers to natural things to illustrate spiritual truths. So recall the spirit's water many times to explain how a bath takes place. So except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom. Next verse. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit. Do you notice the word born? Except a man is born. So Jesus is saying, what you see me doing is a function of birth. I was born this way. I didn't work for it. It's not a prayer of much prayer. It's a function of birth. Now, when Jesus says birth there, anytime you hear the word birth, it calls your attention to DNA. Whatever is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. Or is limited operation to flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is limited to what? Spirit. So if Jesus is using spirit, birth, to signify the new birth, he is saying the attributes of the works that you see can only be given to you by birth. Hallelujah. Are you following so far? So go back to that John chapter 14, verse 12. Because you need to see this. Because if I call you out on Sunday, I say, come and pray for the sick. You know, some people's eyes are already rolling. They're like, I won't come on Sunday. I'll come Sunday after. Whatever Sunday you come, we are waiting for you. You know, because the reason why you're afraid is very simple. It's not because God can't walk through you. It's because you don't know. And you need to know. And when there's ignorance, there's fear. And when there's fear, faith can work. So what boldness does is that it releases the flow of God's power through you, because the same God I carry is the same God you carry. The difference between you and I is simply that I know more. And so I've practiced, I've worked in what I know, and I'm trying to get you to walk in what you know. Was it 2 years ago that we had a healing meeting? I think we had a healing meeting. So two people came out, and I deliberately said, those who have immediate pain, you know, there are people that they are sick, the thing is off and on. So when they come, they may not feel anything at that time. They're not even, so it will be, you can't tell if there's any change. So, but these two people, the pain was there. So I said, come. So I called one of the people in church, go and minister to them. I didn't tell the person before. So the person didn't have time to fast and pray before that service. I just did it in light of what I was teaching, and to let them know that it's not something that's unique to a particular person. It belongs to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Say, the healing Jesus dwells on my inside. I have the authority, I have the right, I have the ability to heal the sick because he dwells in me. So while she was ministering to the first person, the second person was getting healed. What was causing it? She was ministering to the first person, the second person was already getting healed, and then the first person also now got healed. Of course, later I told them that I called that person out by the gift of special faith. That's why I called out. That's why I chose her in particular. I called her because I knew supernaturally that would happen. Now, but the issue is, that was a demonstration of God's power to show that it doesn't have to come from pulpit. It can come from any single believer. Hallelujah. Why? Look at what it says again. It says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that is when I rise from the dead, the works that I do shall he do also, and what? greater works. Jesus, how were you doing your works? I was born that way. The Father that dwells in me. How does he dwell in you? By birth. Are you with me tonight? He now says, the works that I do shall you do also. And what? Greater works than this shall he do, because I go on to my... So the Father that's wearing him is going on to the Father. She'll call your attention to what greater works will mean. Because Jesus, the works you are doing are already great. By saying greater works means that whatever is coming will even be superior to what you were doing before, or there will be more added to it. Say amen. But he notices, because I go to the Father. He just finished telling them, the Father that dwells in me, he does the works, attesting to miracles. So Jesus is saying, it's not necessarily by one anointing I carry, it's the indwelling of the Father within me. But now I go to the Father, which we've seen in scriptures means that he is going to die and resurrect, and he will ascend. So yesterday we saw that Mary witnessed the ascension of Jesus. In John chapter 20 verse 17, Jesus told Mary, touch me not, I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. In Luke 24, we saw Jesus when he came back from the Father. Then he told disciples, handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bone like you see me have. So Jesus showed them his hands and feet to show that. In this case, he said, handle me, which means he could be handled. He had been exalted, he had come back. Then we saw Matthew 28. Look at Matthew 28, 18. Because every one of those scriptures we can scrutinize it closely and see truths there that we're going to use, which are important for us to understand. Matthew 28, 18. Thank you for that. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is what? Given unto me where? And on that verse alone is a description of Jesus' exhortation. All power has been given. If all power has been given, listen carefully, then all power was not given before. Should I take that again? If all power has been given, then all power was not given before now. So all power has been given is a description of his exhortation to the Father's right hand. When was all power given? When he rose from the dead. What does it mean to rise? He's seated at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Should I slow down a little bit? Take it step by step again. Is it getting clearer? All power has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. So Jesus is saying all power. This is Jesus, he has risen from the dead. This is Jesus, he has ascended. Then he has come back physically to discuss disciples. And he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. You don't use the word therefore except there's something you said that's connected to it. Go you therefore means in the light of what I just said. What did you just say? All power has been given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. So go ye therefore is, since all power has been given unto me, by extension, all power given unto me is the same thing as all power given to whoever is in me. If you get that, let me see that. Good stuff. So when he said, go ye therefore, that is an absolute command. Why is the command absolute? Because the power also is absolute. Think about it. All power means all power. All power means all, less none. So when you are going to your village where there are demonic manipulations, how are you going? With some power. A little power. Some portions of power. Some measure of anointing. Say all power. Now, the word power there is authority. You have all authority. That means there is no higher authority than you. That's what it means. I want to think about it. Now, in Christ, man has received the highest authority possible in the heavens. The highest authority. So, listen carefully. Ephesians 1 that we just read, that it says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies far above, is the authority Jesus is describing about here. Far above means there is no other being whose authority comes close. Hallelujah. No other being. What did Jesus say about his resurrection? greater works than this. So Jesus, in healing the sick, in casting out devils, in multiplying food, in rebuking storms, he had a measure of authority that he was using to do the works. How was he doing? He said, the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. So Jesus now told disciples, the works you see me do, the times will change after my resurrection, because I just told you the Father that's in me. And he had told them in that same John chapter 14, in verse 2 and 3, that I will go and prepare a place for you in my Father's household. If I go, I will come back and receive you to myself. So Jesus is saying, when I resurrect, I will bring you to the same experience of all I have experienced. So Jesus died, he was buried. On the third day he rose. When he rose, he ascended. When he ascended, he sat at the Father's right hand, and he was given all authority. He now says, where I am, so that you will be there also. In plain English, all the authority I have, you will have also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know is not the same thing as you don't have. But you don't mean we translate, you don't know we translate to as though you don't have. Okay? Have you seen emergency prayers that people pray in buses when they're traveling? I don't know when people, everybody gets spiritual. There are no unbelievers in the traveling bus. So you have not discovered. There is nothing like an artist in a bus that wants to have accidents. Everybody's a believer there. Have you noticed? No. Nobody calls Buddha in a bus that wants to have accident. I've not seen before. Nobody remembers Mohammed. Have you noticed? Jesus, oh Jesus. Jesus. I've never heard anybody say Mohammed. Allah. Nobody does. Immediately the bus is having, everybody becomes a believer on the spot. Have you noticed? That means there's a conviction he has that this thing works. They don't know, they may not know why it works. Have you noticed? Let's call him. It's when there's crisis. I don't even know that. There's nothing like an artist. Which artist? No. They are pretending artists. Nobody's an artist in a plane that's about to crash. People remember God very quickly. That somebody made the heavens and the earth. His name is Jehovah. And they pray. That's what happens. So Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. What was he sending them with all the authority? That's how we put it in Matthew 28:18. How did he say the same thing in Mark 16? Look at Mark 16, verse 15. Because we're talking about greater works. See, next year, 2019, it will be a year of miracles, a year of exceeding great power. I will walk in the power of God. I'll demonstrate the same. Many prayers will be answered. I will be a blessing to many. I will be the light in many people's darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said unto them, go ye to all the world. And what? Preach the gospel to every. Notice the phrase saying, Jesus never said this until he rose from the dead. When he was with them, he had limited authority. When he was with them, he even told them, go into the city, to the lost sheep of Israel. Go not in the way of Gentiles. Why? He didn't have authority there. Are you with me? When he said, the works I do shall you do, but greater works. The greater works is defined by his going to the Father. His going to the Father means the scope of his authority will have changed. So what he's telling them now, he has never told them before. Because what he's telling them now is because he now has authority over our flesh. So he says here, he says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He has never said that before. Every creature means that I am responsible for all men now, and I can save all and any man. That his authority was at the increase. Next verse. He that believeth and is one baptized shall be saved. But if that believeth not, shall be damned. You notice he didn't repeat the word baptized. Believing and baptism is the same. Like saying, he that believeth is immersed, he shall be saved. What is he immersed in? He's immersed into what he believes in. What does he believe in? The resurrection of Jesus. He's immersed in the same. So if he that believeth is not baptized, that's why I say, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And he say, he that believeth not and is not baptized. Notice he needs to repeat that one again. Because they mean the same thing. So he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, pay attention, may follow those that believe. Are you reading properly? Are you sure that's what's written? Read it again. These signs may follow those that believe. Are you sure it shall? Okay, shall. These signs shall. Shall is the strongest word of affirmation in English language. Shall is like saying, once you are this way, this will happen this way. You are constituted that way. These signs shall follow they that believe. Them that believe is one single word in the Greek. It's translated, these signs shall follow the believing ones. Say, I'm a believing one. What have you believed in? Resurrection of Jesus. What does resurrection mean? He has gone to the Father. What does going to the Father mean? Greater works are wrought in me and through me. Okay? I've said it in different ways. I'm saying it in different ways so you get it. So he says, this thing shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they? The language here is this. Shall they cast out devils? And they shall cast out devils if the same. The word here is permissive. Let me explain what that means. The ability comes by their believing. The authority is conferred by their believing. Shall they is what is now up to them. Shall they refers to an inbred ability which they can now exercise or not exercise. How many of you understand that? Do you know you can have ability that you refuse to use? But you know you have it, but you are not using it. How many of you know? There are people who can drive and don't have a car. And there are people who can drive and don't want to drive. And I hope you know them. You know what I'm talking about. So, that you are not driving doesn't mean you can't drive. It means that you may not want to drive. But there are people who said, I prefer being driven than to drive. Have you met people like that? No matter where you are going, see somebody they told me driving. They just don't like driving. But they can drive. But the ability is there, but they don't use it deliberately. In other words, this sign shall follow those that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. So there is no believer. A day old believer has the inherent ability and authority to cast out devils. So it's not a function of growth or prayer. It's how he was born. Let me put it this way. He is born superior to demons. Let me say that again. He is not casting out devils because he lives right. Or is a prayer champion. No. It's by birth. It's like you saying the reason why you are my son is because you call my name. No, whether you call my name, you don't call my name. If I give birth to you, you are my what? Son. Like saying that the only reason why you can eat in my house is if you work very hard. No, if he's your son, part of your responsibility is to provide for the child. If you're asking the child to work before it is, maybe you are giving them training that will help them later in life. But the work is not what makes you give them food. The work is to make them what? Responsible. How many of you agree with that? That's what it means. So it says, they shall means that they can, by constitution, by birth, you were born superior to forces of darkness. Now, if you walk without consciousness and that superiority, you won't be hopping on one leg before demons go out. Most of the time, when that happens, because you were hoping it will work. You know, it's interesting. How many of us can drive? Let me see. You can drive. Let me see. How many of you put your key in your car and you hope it will start? You know, this is where you laughed. You just like, as you are putting the key, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I just hope car, you will start. If I say, going to car, I confess, you will start. You must start. When I put the key, just answer once. Don't waste time. Just answer. The minute I touch you, just that you are confessing as you are going. You know, people that are following you, winning that, we hope all is well. Because the car is designed to work. Once the key is inside, once you know how to move the car, what will happen with the car? It will move. So what you are not expecting is if something is wrong with the car and it doesn't work, that's the part you are not expecting. What is normal is that the car will what? Work. How many of you agree with that? Now, it says they shall. Is your constitution. It's not something you need extra prayer. That's how you were born. You were born superior. Hallelujah. You were born superior. I went to a school that had all these lower six before they scrapped it and upper six. And boys only. When I got to secondary school, that was the first time I saw somebody that's also called a student shaving. It's only my father that I saw shaving. If I got to. Only my father was. So when I got there, I saw that there are people in upper six. You know? I don't want to mention names because I don't know where the message will go. But there are some seniors that my height then, their legs look like bamboo trees. and they were shaving. And the way we address seniors in my school is we call their surname and put please. So we say, Obasa, please. That's how we address them. Okay? When they speak, the baritone in their voice is like many waters. You don't know, they don't know your name, if they know your name, but you are a junior. And they say, one boy, that's your name in that hour. That's your new name. That is, everybody within the circumference of their voice appears. We are all one boy, all of us. Because if you don't respond, woe betide you and your generation. If you don't answer. You know, think about it. Upper six to form one. If they give back to you properly, you will answer. You are not thinking. In fact, the respect you have for them is more than one you have for teachers. Because if they handle you, they will structure your priorities. Yes, sir. Now, so you are not thinking rebellion. You are not thinking, what if I don't? The thought dies when you just see them. It doesn't occur to you. Anything you say, bring your lunch, you submit your lunch with gladness. That's what they ask for. Now, you are conscious of the distance between you and them, so you don't think to obey. So no senior starts saying, one boy, one boy, one boy now. How? Or they now see you. Come here. Kneel down there. I see you kneel down. Kneel down now. Kneel down quickly. But that's what we sometimes do with demons. And once you start on that journey, you don't know who you are. You don't know what authority you have. That's the issue. Because you won't think twice. Illustration. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And they went on a day's journey. When they were coming back, Peter called Jesus, Master, the fig tree that you curse is withered from the root. Jesus' response was like, what else was supposed to happen? It was like, yes. Is that not normal? Jesus was like, I don't understand. Why is that strange? What else was supposed to happen? That's exactly what's supposed to happen. He's supposed to. He now used that to teach them principle of faith. You know what? Jesus did not inspect to see whether trees would obey or demons would answer. They didn't have a choice. I hope you understand. So he says, in my name they shall cast out devils. Listen carefully. The same authority, the same bat that conferred upon you is the same thing that gave all the other instructions. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. So I don't know how believers get comfortable with new tongues and they're not comfortable with casting out devils. Because it's the same ability, the same force. That you are speaking in tongues to remind you, I'm a devil chaser. See, I'm a devil. That you can you speak with tongues? Can you speak with tongues? Then you are a demon chaser. You see, you don't cherry pick. You don't say Jesus was serious about this one. This one was not serious. No, it's giving you the particulars of a new creation. The particulars are, you are concerned with authority to cast out demons. You are concerned with authority to speak with new tongues. Look at the next thing it says. It says, they will take up serpents. That word serpents is a reference to the works of darkness. It means you will destroy works of darkness. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not one of them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall... Notice, doesn't use the word might anywhere here. They shall. They shall recover. Somebody says why? The authority to deal with diseases is also within the believer. Now, the clearest sign for you to know that you have all this is the minute you begin to speak with tongues, just know you can do everything that's listed here. Because tongues is a signal that you belong to a new civilization in Christ Jesus. See, I belong to a new race in Christ. All power, all authority has been given unto me in Christ Jesus. I exercise authority over demonic spirits. I exercise authority over sickness and disease. I have mastery over works of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Jesus, what Jesus is saying when he says that all power has been given unto me, where? In heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. What else does he mean by all power? Go back to that Ephesians 1. We're going to stop shortly. Ephesians 1. So, Jesus, when he was on the earth, had limited authority. But he used that authority to cast out demons, he used that authority to heal the sick. He used that authority to produce miracles. And it says, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Okay? Before you go to Ephesians 1, look at Ephesians, sorry, look at John chapter 14 and verse 20. The Father that dwells in me, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. John 14, 20. At that day, which day is he talking about? The day of what? Redemption. Okay? He says, in that day, you shall know. What will you discover? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Think about it. And it's fine to the new creation, it's talking about the new birth. This is what you will discover in that day. When you discover, what will it lead to? Boldness to walk in your nature. You will now know why greater works are possible. It means that if you would lay hands on the sick with the consciousness of Christ's indwelling presence, they will be healed every time. But you know, we either focus on the sickness or we focus on our own feelings of weakness. Then nothing happens. You are not conscious of any outflow. You are not conscious of the word. You are not conscious of the reality as written concerning him. So it says, in that day you will know. That's what you will discover. Ephesians 1 again, verse 18. Verse 19. So it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him, where? At his own right hand, in the heavenlies. Next verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the authority that Jesus has is an authority that exceeds this terrestrial realm. He doesn't just have authority in the spiritual realm, he has authority beyond this dispensation. And that is the authority that you and I have. In fact, read the next verse. Read the next verse. Because it's describing Christ here. But so that you won't know, you won't think he's just talking about Christ, then look at what it says next. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filled. No, next verse. No, previous verse. That's not what we're reading. What does the previous verse? He has put all things under where? His feet. And gave him to be what? The head. Over all things to the church. Who is the church? His body. The fullness of him that fills what? All in all. If he's the head, every head has a body. We are in that body. The authority of the head is the authority of what? The body. He set him at his own right hand. Again, we have described many times, God's right hand is not left hand and right hand. It's not a physical hand. It's a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. Okay? God's right hand is a description of all the authority that God has. So to set Jesus at his right hand is to express all his authority to Jesus. In other words, if you see God's right hand, if it can be pictorially represented today, what you will see is all the authority that God has. How many of us remember the story of Joseph and Pharaoh? You remember that story? Particularly if you read, I think, Genesis chapter 41. You will see after Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, well, we can't find anybody wiser than you to set over these affairs and this business. Then when Pharaoh addressed Joseph, he said, only in the throne will I be higher than you. He removed his personal ring of authority, gave it to Joseph. He said, you will exercise all the authority I have only in the throne. In other words, anything that Pharaoh wants to do, he can only do through Joseph. Wherever you see Joseph, who you are seeing is Pharaoh moving. How many of you understand that? So he set him at his own right hand simply means that all, not some, not delegated, all the authority Father has is now expressed through one person. His name is Jesus. Say all authority. You know, again, we're teaching now, we're seeing so many things. But when it comes to praying in the tongues and meditation, you take these things line upon line and let them sink in. I keep telling you, all you don't know what all authority means. Whether it's a witch's coven, whether it's a temple of idol worship, all authority is all authority. Whether it's somebody who is possessed by demonic spirits, beloved, all authority is all authority. So it means there is no degree of demonic operation in an environment. All authority is all authority. The authority you carry by birth still surpasses all those operations. And that's why I don't encourage people to watch certain films. And some movies you watch, it will rob you of all confidence. Not only that, it will magnify the works of darkness. It will. Have you seen movies before that a man was afflicted and for 3 years he was suffering? They will now show. I don't know why you always like to God be the glory. Because when you finish watching the film, you know God doesn't have any glory here at all. They should have said to you, the devil be the glory there. No, because the storyline shows that this cannot be God. This one has been afflicted for 3 years. What is even evil about it is that when they cast the spell in the village and it was in the city, it was instant. Have you noticed? It was instant. He just became crippled on one spot. The same first time the person was speaking in the village, the man just became crippled in the city, just like that. They carried him to hospital, it didn't work. They now went to church. The demonic thing, they will now be taking it from one church after the other. This is the second year they are praying in church. It has not worked. Is that not demonic? No, that was Satan insisting God delays. And that thing has affected people's minds. You see people who have affliction, who now want to be taken to a shrine. You are going to the afflictor. Who will take the affliction from you and give you the senior brother. And that's what happens. The chronic headache will disappear. But something else was given to you, you didn't know. That will now appear a year after. Cancer. And they wonder where that was coming from. They go to another place, and that higher demon will cast out the lower demon and replace that one. And, but they are portrayed as though it takes God time. Ah, God is slow, shah. He doesn't act on time. Demonic thoughts. And yet the Bible speaks about the miracles of Jesus. Everything Jesus did was instant. Have you noticed? So where do they get their stories from? It's worldly thinking. And unconsciously those films are affecting us. Because they are glorifying the devil's works. That's what they are doing. So you have to wash your mind regularly with the truth of God's word. Say, he lives in me today. All authority has been given unto me in Christ Jesus. I cast out devils. I heal the sick. If I take any deadly poison, it shall not hurt me. Hallelujah. I am born that way. This day I know that Christ is in me and the Father is in me also. That as he is, so am I. The works that he does, will I do greater works than that, will I also do because he has gone to the Father. Glory to God. Glory to every man has been able to lay hold on a fraction of this revelation. Have walked in so much power, they were considered gods among men. And yet what they were walking in was something that God made available to every single child of God. Alexander Dowie was a pastor of a church in New Zealand for years. And there was a plague, I think it was a bubonic plague, swept the city. Thousands died. The time the revelation of who Christ is dawned upon him, he was a congregational minister. He belonged to a denomination. He had buried 40 of his church members. You know what it means for a pastor to bury 40 of his members? Please, how many are there? And you have personally buried 40 of them. And he didn't know what was caused, because the popular theology of that day was because maybe God is always taking them away. In fact, he told God, God, if you take them all away, what will be left for me to pastor? So his heart was searching for the truth. What is going on? We prayed and prayed and prayed. It's as though our prayers fell on deaf ears. So you can pray and pray and pray and miss, and there's no power, and you think God is deaf. Because your prayers were amiss. Because they were not praying in faith. They were not praying in light of what God has done. They were praying based on circumstances and situations. They even thought God was responsible for the plague. Can you imagine? Two people kept dying. So in a particular afternoon, he was tired, he was worn out. And his heart was searching for the answers. And while praying with tears in his eyes just fell on Acts 10:38. He didn't see Acts 10:38 the way you see it, though. They are reading English. What he saw there, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. What he saw in that verse was this: Jesus is the healer, Satan is the oppressor. That's what he saw. He jumped up from his chair. For the first time, light entered his heart. He knew that God was responsible. He knew God was the one who was stopping them from dying. Satan was the one who was making them die. The only prayer he prayed before he left the house was, Lord, help me to take this message to my congregation. While he was about to do that, there was a knock on the door. A small child came. Pastor, pastor, come. Mary is dying. Anna was dying. Said he ran out of the house without his coat or hat. You don't know what that means now, because coat or hat then, you will be considered a madman in those days if you don't go out with your coat and hat. He ran out. Rushed the house. Even the parents were saying that, okay, have you come to pray the last prayer for her? Because everybody had given up. He said no. The doctor came. He met a doctor there. That doctor said, you see, this light that you have now, you don't know how much of a blessing this is, I'm telling you. What the doctor was telling the pastor as he came was that, are the ways of God not marvelous? Somebody that's dying, the ways of God, are they not mysterious? His ways are mysterious. And he was talking about the sickness upon the child. He was attributing it to God. But because at the point, this point in time, that we had just encountered light, he shouted, revelation. He shouted at the doctor, these are not the ways of my God. These are the works of the devil. And we're going to cast him out now. The doctor looked at him as though he was mad and shook his head and stepped out of the room. It's better for unbelief to go out. Let those in faith stay. He stood over the child, rebuked the devil, laid his hands upon the child. The child convulsed once, twice, and became still. The parents thought the child was dead. They felt the child's pulse. He was breathing. The child fell into a deep sleep. He sat down and waited. Sometime after the child's dead, he said, Mom, Dad, I feel so refreshed. I feel so renewed. I feel so strengthened. I was in a deep sleep. The child woke up completely well. From that day, nobody died in his congregation again. That was what Christ has always wanted to do, that lack of light didn't make them able to do it. Think about it. So when we keep praying for revelation, and some of us are getting tired, don't need no more than praying for revelation. What is revelation? You don't know like you ought to know. You don't know like you ought to know. When you know like you ought to know, you will act like you ought to act. There will be a holy boldness within your heart. Towards the sick, there will be compassion. You will know you have the goods and you will deliver. Hallelujah. You won't doubt that the power of God will flow through you. You will stop thinking of yourself. You will see him as he sees you. And it will renew your mind. Say, I see him as he sees me. In him, I'm altogether lovely. I'm altogether beautiful. I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. His power flows through me. I am a vessel of God's mighty power. I am a carrier of his very life. I am the Father's residence upon the earth. Hallelujah. That boldness has to come out of your mouth. It has to show up in your actions. That's why, I think we used to focus more on that in the early days of church. That in the early days, I tell people, you're walking in a circular and they give you a query or something coming up at work and you fold your hands. I say, let the will of God be done. No, that's the will of the devil about to be done. You are a master of situations and circumstances. You don't take those kind of situations lying down. You stand to your feet in the name of Jesus. You pace the floor of your office or your room. You change things overnight. When you get to your place of work, you have altered the report already. When you are having a meeting, they are just going through the motions. The report has been changed. You are not at the mercy of situations or circumstances. Your life is not structured after the decisions of men. It has been decided in Christ Jesus. You act like that, you are in charge. They are doing transfers. You don't want to be transferred, and then you sit down, you fold your hand, let the will of God be done. They will take you to Kafancha. Oh my degree. Why are you acting as though you don't have a say? That's the problem. We act so weak as though you know. I'm like, no, you have say I have a say in Christ Jesus. I have authority in Christ and I have a say in the affairs of life. I'm not going to sit back and watch things happen. I'm going to make things happen in the spirit. Hallelujah. Why do you pray about January, February, March, April? Because they are empty, they are blank checks. You fill it in by the Spirit of God. You fill it in. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every good thing that you want to see manifest, they will manifest automatically. You have to fill in the months with supernatural events. You tell yourself April is a month of gladness and supernatural surprises. May is a month that's abundant with increase and divine provision. You are speaking life and there is no shortage of power to make it come to pass. But the challenge is this: are you ready to pray and to speak? That's the issue. Are you ready to pray? And you are joining them in saying that, you know, life is full of ups and downs. How can somebody have good and not experience evil? Ah. Where you are, can Christ experience evil where he is? And where he is where you are. I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, where demons can't speak, where things can't go wrong, when things can't go south, there you will be also. That's what he said. So when you are praying with a consciousness. You already know the Father. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and of evil, to give you a hope and a future, which he has given you already in Christ. It's not time to speak. In that day thou shalt say, glory to God. You start speaking. You are framing the month of May. You are framing June. You are framing July. You are framing August. You are putting things in those months by the Spirit while you are still in this year now. So you are not waiting for the year to happen to you. You are happening to the year already. That's what you're doing by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If you're going to go to a different country, you're going to get a visa, you have been prayed up already. It's not that you now get to that year, you are now looking for Sister Claire. Okay, can you agree with me? May there be no wicked person at that visa office. When it's no, I don't understand why we just put ourselves at a mercy of situation. No, it's not. You cook things in God, you stir up things by the Spirit of God, you send angels on assignment with your prayers. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Say, tremendous power is released when I pray. It effects changes. It works out solutions. Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask God. Can you ask it? Can you think it? He will exceed it. You pray without consciousness. You pray without understanding. You don't start looking at the economy as a limitation. No, it's according to the riches of his glory, not according to your pocket. His supply is in line with the riches of his glory. It's what he has done that makes it different, not what you do. And you take what he has done. In place of prayer, by his Spirit, you express it. You frame the months ahead. Supernatural preservation is yours. Divine protection is yours. Your going out is preserved. Your coming is preserved. Contracts are awarded to you. You are favorably mentioned in the right places. You stand before kings and not mean men. Supernatural surprises await you every single day. You are framing the year the way it's meant to be. How that you are saying that, you know, what's going on in nation 95? People are just losing their job. Is that what you want? Jesus said, say what you desire, not what is happening. That's what you're meant to say. So when we're teaching along this line, we're showing that you have the authority to change things. Not that you are the mercy of things. No, you have the authority to change and stand to your feet tonight. And begin to bring the Holy Ghost. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. We make power available in the months of next year. We declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, say to the righteous, it shall be well. It is well with all your outcomes. It is well in all your endeavors. It is well with all the steps that you take. It is well with all your ventures. It is well with all the steps that you take in the coming year. Lesu brokaste, dekesu brostafrakati legiste. Lesu. The Bible teaches that Elijah appeared a principle. He prayed and released tremendous power to stop something that was happening. Listen carefully. And to ask something to continue in the place of what was happening. You know, sometimes we look at certain things that have been recurring and we're hoping one day to stop. Nope. Even the law of physics tells you something continues in the state of uniform motion except an external force is applied. So except that thing finishes natural course, it's not going to stop. Whether it's a delay, whether it's a stagnation, whether it's a mountain of rejection, the Bible says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, without removing, without casting the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass. It shall what? have whatsoever. You have been taught that you had the authority in Christ today. So you're going to pray in the spirit and supply power, and you're going to command whatever chain or cycle or recurrent hardship in any way, you're going to command it to stop in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray the Holy Ghost. And when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak now concerning whatever it is. Things are not meant to be slow or dragging, no matter what it is. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the right in Christ to change things. Elo grasta bar, lesu broko pakite, eke kaka agroste, lesu zabro katali gashli. You are not at the mercy of situations. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have a right, you have a say, you have an authority to exercise. Ele jukrasta bakala, ene kaka kasa. Whatever has been happening is not in line with the will of God. You put a stop to it in the name of Jesus. Whatever should happen that is being delayed from manifesting, you command this manifestation. You declare no more delays of any kind, no more interference of any kind, no more manipulation of any kind. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I see men running, you know, just running beyond limitations, beyond hindrances, beyond expectation. I see men just breaking forth in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want us to point towards Mrs. Ephemina over there. We're praying for our mother. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, she's healed where she is. All our bodily functions are restored. In the name of Jesus, the effect of that stroke is cancelled. Every part of our body begins to work. Just release power in that direction. There's no distance in this realm of the spirit. We speak life, we minister life to her, to you. We declare that every part of our system, our organs, our tissues, our cells, our blood, our heart begins to function well. Every restriction and constriction is removed in the name of Jesus. We command that health is restored to her right now. She's raised up from that bed. That affliction is cancelled. That remove our bodies quickened with the power of God. We break the hold of sickness, we break the hold of paralysis, we break the hold of stroke. We break the hold of even thanks for that healing. We give you praise, we give you glory, we bless your name. Lift up your hands and thank him tonight. Lift up your hand and thank him tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. One more thing before we go tonight. I want the Afolamis to come forward. They are relocating, and it is God's will. Amen. It is God's will. We're going to miss them, but we send them forth in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, they'll be leaving by Friday, but they are on assignment. Amen. They are on assignment, and we're just going to stretch out our hands tonight, and we're going to pray for them. I want to stretch out your hands tonight, and just pray for this family. Ample supply, ample provision, supernatural protection, supernatural preservation. We send them forth as an assembly with the power of God, with the finger of God visibly evident, with the favor of God as at work in this same assignment, will be at work in their lives in a new measure. They go forth as emissaries of the gospel. They go forth as messengers of God. They go forth as ones who are chosen and set apart, and signs and wonders will follow your lives and your ministry. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the supernatural and the spectacular will mark your entry into that country. You will see strange things in Christ. You will see mighty acts of God. Your children will not be sick a single day, but they will walk in divine health. You will walk in divine health. What is common to them will not be common to you, but the things of heaven, the things of Christ will begin to reflect in your life. Your walk will be a testimony before men. Your life will be a shining example, leadership, grace to raise men. grace to establish men, grace to strengthen men is conferred upon you in the name of Jesus. You are supernaturally equipped tonight to do things. A calabaster, le subracato, le nika katile shido, lo sandre kibo, elika chachiche brago bagati, esese brago bagata. Men are granted access through you. Men's thirst is quenched through you. The light shines through you into many men's darkness. Men enter into new vistas of life through you. The message upon your lips is hard. The word of God upon your lips is hard. You will walk in power. You walk in glory. You walk in the fullness of his grace. Majestically, you will take over the land. For the aura of Christ will spread to you. His fragrance will flow forth through you. In all your meetings, there will be clear evidence. Deaf ears will be open, blind eyes will be open, the paralyzed will walk, the crippled will be set free, afflictions will go from lives of men. At your words, at the instance of your utterances, lives will change for good, destinies will be altered for good. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you. As an assembly, we commit this once unto you. We thank you for the supernatural, we thank you for the spectacular, we thank you for the gospel that prospers in their hearts. Thank you because no need, no lack of anything is mentioned concerning them in the name of Jesus. Only good news and supernatural testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love and appreciate you. Hallelujah.